Welcome, everybody, and God bless you all. In the wonderful name of our King and our Savior, our Lord and our brother, he's pretty much everything we need someone to be, right? Our Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to open up with a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, God, I thank you so much in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, for what you've done for us all. In the salvation you've given us, the hope you've given us in this day and time and in the future as well. And I thank you for the gifts and callings that you've given to us as well. And these are not empty and vain, but they are fulfilling and full of your wonderful love and power, your grace and your light. And I just thank you, Father, for that we can be bearers of that light and that love and that power. And we can reach the people that are sat in darkness with that. And I thank you for this fellowship is an extension, Father, of your kingdom, which flows throughout the whole world, really. And I just thank you for blessing Lawrence and Kim for continual stands upon your word as the ministers they are. And for everybody here tonight who's also an able minister, a child of yours, a son or daughter of yours, Father. And we know the gifts and callings of you are without repentance. You don't take it back. So I just thank you for great hearts tonight. You see the needs of everybody, Father. Thank you for meeting the needs you see in order to provide. And just working in everybody. What you want said tonight, what you want done tonight, Father, and iron sharpening iron, great encouragement for all of us. Thank you for this, Father, in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
I'll kickstart the sharings, I guess. I nearly said I'm empty, but I'm not, because God's going to fill me up. I'm full of his Holy Spirit. How can I be empty? But it's funny because no matter how we feel, no matter what we think, we always are the children of God. We always are called according to God's purpose. And we've responded to God's call, and we're chosen because we've chosen to respond. So we are chosen, and we know that we don't just get together for a worldly little ceremony and this, that, and the rest of it. But this is for the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, iron sharpening iron. We get lifted and up and encouraged and built up and edified. So then when we get out there in that world, we know what our Father's capable of doing through us, through our Lord Jesus Christ through us. And we know that, we've got light to bear. We've got words of life, and we've got so much we can offer to other people out there. I know the enemy doesn't want to look at it that way, doesn't want us looking at it that way, but we don't focus there. We just focus on what the Father wants and what his Son Jesus Christ wants. And we know that no matter what's going on, the very best will happen. And that's what the Father wants for all of us, is the very best. I'm still waiting and believing eagerly for my first leader type laborer, and desiring that, and desiring one that's just equal to at least a million of those, and my own harvest ready fields. So I don't just want one field. I want one to begin with, and then another one, and then another one. I think I was sharing the other day about being in the right position. So I'm just looking to God to show me how to be in position, ready to receive that. I believe I already have it. So it's just making certain that I adjust where I need to adjust and be ready with the right words to give to the people he gives me. So other than that, it's been quite a week. We've had some great weather, and I was asking God for an open door the other day. And it's funny because when I was working out my work schedule for the day, I totaled everything up. I thought, well, maybe I'll pick up a new customer. And whenever I get a thought like that, or whenever someone catches my attention, and it normally is that way, and it's God showing me it, so many times it's like a fleeting thought. And then as I was getting on with my day, I realized, oh, I have got a new one anyway to start. Someone asked me last month. So as I came to that house, the lady next door came out and would you see my windows as well? And I thought, there is a new one actually today. So it was quite crazy, really. And I went 1, 2, 3, one house after another. I'm thinking, Father, thank you so much. You made that so easy for me. Really did. And the lady that came out to ask me to do hers that day, elderly lady, she'd had a bad fall, and she had seriously dark bruising all up her arm, dark purple bruises, and a big gash on her elbow. It was probably like 2 or 3 millimeters wide and a couple of inches long, and it looked quite bad. And she was all like, I'll go back and I'll get you money. I said, no. I said, you relax and slow down. I said, let me do it first and then I'll get that after. So anyway, we were chatting afterwards, and she said to me she's had a fall in the fireplace. So, and it was really bad. And then she gets vertigo. She didn't tell me about the vertigo, but she told me about the fall. And we got on the subject of believing. And she, that's right, on about a child of God. And she said, oh, I used to be, but I don't think I am anymore. I'm too evil. I said, no, you're wrong. Once a child, always a child. DNA cannot be changed. And it's true for every one of us, right? I said, you're a child of God. If you were once, then you are now. And he loves you just as much. You're not evil. Then talking about her fall, I said, would you let me pray for you? She said, oh, I'd love it if someone prays for me, please. So that's fine. So then I just shared a bit with her to build her faith up, and ministered to her. And she was moving her arm perfectly well afterwards. The pain was gone. The bruising was still there. The mark on the elbow was still there. She said something about an infection in there. So yeah, that ain't there anymore. Of course it's not, because the power of the name of Jesus Christ dealt with it. And then she starts carrying on about how this fall happened. She's got a bad nerve where her spine is, and it causes vertigo, and that's how she felt. I said, well, he can deal with that as well if you want him to. She said, oh, it'll take too long. I said, no, it'll take less time than what I just did. No time at all. I said, nothing's impossible with God. She said, oh, go on. And I said, turn around. That was it. By the way, what do I do? Right hand on the back. So I just put my right hand in one spot. And as I was praying and ministering to her and commanding it, I actually felt movement under my hand. I felt something click here and something click there. And I looked up, I said, did you feel that? I felt something click. She said, yes, I did. And as I'm carrying on, she said, did you hear something? I said, no. Hear what? She actually heard it click with her ears. And she felt it click at the same time. I thought, oh, that's incredible. Isn't God good? So, yeah, that was all dealt with. And it was so funny. She kind of almost couldn't believe it, even though she believed it had happened. But she was kind of shocked. We just met, literally. And that was it. All of a sudden, ding, everything clicked into place. On about God's timing. And I just started laughing because it was comical. She looked up, she said, go and do your work like this. And it was just so funny. she didn't quite know where to put herself, sort of thing. But she's a character. Anyway, I shared with her about what we do here. So, the ball's in her court, sort of thing now. It reminded me all over again that there's a lot of people sat in darkness, that She prays every night, but nobody's come up to her and done that for her. Right? And each person on this Zoom meeting has the same ability in Christ. And you never know whose direction God will take you in, or who God will bring in your direction. And at that specific moment in time, you can say, "What I command in the name of Jesus Christ." And that is where the love is. That is where the power is. And with the love comes the power to heal the sick. And the faith is there. The faith activates the love. The faith activates the power so that it can all flow and God can do his job. And it just really blessed me. Because things went a little bit quiet for a while. And I was kind of thinking, but I was working on other areas as well. And, you know, together with the healing, it's important people have salvation so they understand why Jesus Christ gave his life for them. So they can hear why he did it, to take their sins and their sicknesses to the grave. And that's what it's about. And that's the love that we walk in. That's the power that we walk in. And the enemy cannot stand against it. When one child of God steps up to that plate, the enemy cannot stop it. Because it's a free will choice decision, and it's believing on God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son, and you can't go above that. The enemy cannot stand against it. So, and then somebody else today as well. A couple of problems with a couple of things. I said, "I'm going to pray for you." "Shell, thank you. I need somebody to do that." And I thought, this is great. And that's a couple of people this week. So who knows? Who knows what comes of it? Only God knows. But, you know, we keep faithful, sowing the seeds, watering the seeds as we're going along, as we're led to do. And we just go about our daily business. Seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Everything's added to us. We know we've got nothing to worry about. And there's nothing to fear in this world. So, yeah, that's pretty much it from me at the moment. And now I would like to ask, Kathy, would you like to share next, please, sister?
Hi, Jason. Hi, everybody.
God bless you.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi. Hello. Hi. Well, it's great to be with you all. And where did all my pictures go? Wait a minute. Hang on. Okay. There's everybody. All right. So, well, God is good, right? I am very, very thrilled and happy to be moving along in a good direction. Sarah, do you want to share anything?
Well, you can go first. I'll go last.
Okay. But like if you're talking in the background, it's a good idea. All right. So Sarah might share. Maybe.
After you.
Okay. After me. Good. I actually was listening to, Sangit sharing on "You Are the Joy to the World." And I was really just very struck by such a simple statement. And, you know, when Jesus Christ was born, that he was, you know, joy to the world, right? We always sing that song holiday time. And that's what he was. He was the world's joy because of who he was and what he brought. And then I have Christ in me, so that makes me a joy to the world too. And that's kind of a really, really wonderful thing to think about. And, you know, for me, it's really been a week of living at that right-hand side of God, which is what I'm very much going to God about. And as he is, so am I in this world. And just really thinking about and practicing what it's like to be as Jesus Christ. And for me, that's, you know, a beautiful transition, because my past was always about, as I've said before, trying to be that way. And so for me to change from trying to be that way into I'm already that person, and thinking that way and responding that way and reacting that way to things of life, has been wonderful. And, you know, the other thing for me too is, the thing about happy and being happy in Happyville, because seated at the right hand of God is that place where there are pleasures forevermore. And that means that I experience something very pleasant and that my life is very pleasant. And when God created Eden for Adam and Eve, he created it to be that beautiful, pleasant, perfect place. And so my life in the past has always been one that has not been pleasant. And I had spots here and there that were wonderful and great and a blessing and all that. But I never considered that being happy was like important with God, you know, like for me now it's a priority. Because when I am happy and joyful and have gladness of heart, that means I'm recognizing what God has done for me, because what he has done for me is like the most beautiful, perfect, wonderful gift. And when people give you like a really amazing gift, you get happy. You know, it really blesses you. And then on the other side, if I'm not that way, because I'm looking around at what the world is trying to give me, yeah, then I'm not happy. And if I look at what the world is trying to tell me about who I am, yeah, then I'm not happy. So for me, Happyville is something I am very much pursuing, and I don't have to even pursue it because I'm already there and I'm at that position in that place. So now what it is for me is to experience that. Because what good is it if I can't experience it and live it? You know, God is the one who wants me to manifest every spiritual blessing. It's like they're no good if they're just sitting there on a shelf somewhere. Like that doesn't do me any good. And honestly, it doesn't do God any good either, because he's the one that is the one that works, you know, that is working and working to bring those things into my view. I need to see them. I need to see them in front of my face. I need to experience them. And because that's the way they are to be enjoyed, by living them. So one of the things also that I love that, they're not theory. You know, I've had so much theory in my life, like the promises of God are just wonderful and there they are. And I know God has given them to me. But honestly, for me, a lot of those have been theory. And by that, I mean, I didn't experience them. You know, they weren't alive and living and real in my day to day life. Yeah, every once in a while, they would come through for sure. I did experience that. But I understand now that it's not supposed to be a once in a while kind of thing. And then the rest of the time, you're trying to bridge, you know, bridge the space to get there. That is not the more than abundant life. And, you know, it's that, it's not an abundant life, because even that would be so, so great. It's the more than abundant life. Okay, Jesus Christ paid such a price to give me something that was even more than abundant. You know, I would say, yeah, Adam and Eve had an abundant life in the Garden of Eden because everything was there. Freely eat, just partake. Everything's perfect. You have dominion over everything. Everything is beautiful. Everything is wonderful, and God is there, like you are connected. But what God has done for us really is beyond that. That's why I think it says more than abundant. It's more beyond, over the top abundant. It's greater even than what Adam and Eve had. And the price that Jesus Christ paid was unimaginable. And I still wonder sometimes, why did it have to be that way? That he had to pay for it the way he did. And I sort of, you know, think when he was in the garden and asked, is there any other way? I mean, that's like, yeah, because he knew what he was going to have to go through, you know? And so the value of the gift is equal to the price, or should be equal to the price that was paid, you know? The value of the gift of God to us is equivalent to the price that was paid. And the price that was paid was his life in the most, you know, horrendous way, the most traumatic, the most, I don't know, whatever words you want to put on it, what he went through. So that makes the gift of Christ in me like valuable beyond what I could ask or think, right? And so it would be beneficial for me to take advantage of all of that, you know, to take advantage of having the Spirit of God in Christ in me and all that that gives me, all that that affords me. And that is happiness. It is happy to be delivered from this world. To be literally plucked out from the middle of it, from plucked out from Satan's grasp and seated at his right hand. Okay, that's Happyville. And if I don't live in that kind of heart and mindset, I feel like then I'm not seeing it. Because the world is a very unhappy place and I'm not part of it. So yeah, so anyway, for me, it has been a pursuit for this last year. And you know, one of the other things that Lawrence so often speaks about, and he said it many times, say what you want, not what you see. And those were words that God gave to him, right? And the funny thing about it is that, I mean, it's not funny, but it's like a good thing. That when you keep doing that, you know, say what you want, not what you see. After a while, you see what you want. It does flip, you know. So it's like after a while, you stop seeing what you're looking at. And you see what it is that you want from God. It does a flip. And it's pretty cool because now you're not seeing the stuff that used to get in your way. You know, it's still there. It's there. But say what you want, know what you see. You start seeing what you want. And I think that is very cool because what it's saying is that your perspective and your vision is changing, you know. And for me, it's noticing a lot of these things. They seem like little things, but when I see something different, like in my life that it's changed and it's not the same, and it's even something like that, to me, it says a lot. It very much encourages me. And, you know, God intended for us to have a very powerful, happy, smooth, abundant, more than abundant, life manifesting all of his goodness and his grace and his power and his might, you know, and, you know, so that's the life he's called me to. And another thing Lawrence has said so often that I love is that he talks about going from the pit to the palace, right? Like what happened to Joseph. He went from the pit to the palace, but the really beautiful thing about that is that when he got to the palace, he never went back to the pit. He stayed there. When Joseph went to the top of Egypt. Like, you know, basically Pharaoh gave Joseph the reins. You know, it was like he gave him the signet ring, you know, and hey, Joseph, you run the show. And I'm going to, whatever, you know, you run the show, which of course meant that God was running Egypt. And so once God brought him to that place, because we know that God was bringing him there step by step by step. And yeah, he went through some stuff. He clearly did, but it was that leading of God that was bringing him along. Because God already knew he was going to put him at the head. Already knew that. That was foreordained good works for Joseph. That was God's idea and God's plan and vision for him. And once he got there, he stayed there. You know, he never went back into the pit. And so, you know, I look at my life that way now because I have been in a pit. I will clearly say it. And I have been low and I have been down and, you know, but that's not where I belong and that's not where I'm going to stay. And that's not where I am. I am elevated in that very high position of authority where there are pleasures forevermore. And you know, once you start to sort of get that, at least for me, you just start to begin to see what that is. And then it's like, I can't go back. I will never go back. I can't go back. Why would I go back? You know, to that old former conversation that was based on things that were not true, that I thought were true. But now I'm like, you get a taste of this thing that God has, it was his good pleasure to give me, to give us. And it's like, you can't go back. And I think that's like Joseph too. Why would he go back to that? No, God didn't want him to. And, you know, even though sometimes our life might hit the skids, you know, it might, but to me, that's like, okay, but that doesn't mean I'm ever going to go back to that once God brings me up and out. So I might have learned some good things while I was there, but I'm not going back to that. That's not what God has called me to. And, you know, again, I think too of that great record of what we call the prodigal son, or the forgiving father. And I know I mentioned this before, but you know, when the father says to the second son that was griping and complaining about all the celebration for the son that returned, and the father says to him, this was a right thing to do. This was good that we did that because he was lost and now he's found. You know, like we all were lost and now we're found. That's a great celebration in heaven for all of us who get born again. Okay, but for you, son, didn't you realize that all that I have is thine? All that I have is thine. And that continues to speak loudly to me every day because all that God has, he's given to us. All that he is, he's given to us. He gave the most costly thing for us, his only begotten son, to die the way he died because God felt as if we were worth it. You know, we were worth that kind of price. You know, that is a humbling thing that God would think I was worth paying that kind of price for. So, yeah, I really am thinking how I do need to take advantage of this wonderful position because I didn't earn any of it. I never would earn any of it. I didn't get it myself. It was a gift. And, you know, when somebody gives you a very, very costly gift, it's meant to be enjoyed and to benefit and to be used and to be blessed by. And that glorifies God when I do that. You know, So, yeah. So I think that's all I got to share. I love you.
Wow, that was wonderful. Thank you, Cathy. Yeah, so true. So true, every word you said. Next, Kelly, have you got anything in your heart to share with us, sister?
Say a bit louder, Jason, and she heard.
Kelly, are you on there?
Kelly, Kelly Drennan, are you there, darling?
Well, perhaps not.
Perhaps not.
Okay. How about Peter? What's in your heart, brother?
Hello, I'm here.
Hey, Peter.
I was just listening to what Kathy said, you know, about God is just, he's so good to us. And, you know, the almighty creator of the heavens and the earth is really and really in love with us. And he's really bearing his arm and just, there's nothing he won't do for us. You know, and when we just go to him and ask him and we keep him first in our lives. And he even knew when he created us that a lot of times we weren't going to keep him first, and he still loves us anyway, which is kind of really, really good, because I'd be in the soup for sure, you know? And, so even in the times when we're not clicking with him, or we're not tracking with him, he still loves us, and he's still going to do his very, very best to help us in our lives. And when we get to where we can go back and say, hey, look, yeah, I kind of blew it here or there or in another place, he's like, it's okay. It's not a problem. And we get right back into walking with him. And he's never angry with us. He's never cross with us. He's not going to withhold anything from us, because, I mean, he knew billions and billions of years ago what we were going to do every day with our lives. I mean, he still sent his son to die for us. He still gave all that he had to give. He gave us Holy Spirit. He's seated us in the heavenlies with Jesus Christ. And we're in a good place. I mean, despite our old man, which we were supposed to be reckoning dead, a lot of us, sometimes a lot of us do reckon him dead, and then sometimes we didn't want to dig him up. But we can't be doing that. At least I can't, and other people maybe. But I always am encouraged to know that no matter how bad I blow it, or no matter how out of sorts I can get, my Father is there with open arms. Like that, it's like the prodigal son parable with the, you know, the kid, he went off and he blew all of his inheritance on riotous living, and he got to where he just couldn't, you know, function too good. And I'm not really saying the record verbatim, but point is, he came back and his father was looking for him, you know, from afar off, and he saw him and he says, oh, it's my son, he's returned, you know. And he ran to meet him, and he got him, you know, cleaned up, and he got him new clothes, and he got him a ring on his finger, and you know, he welcomed him back. And it was no big deal, because that's his blood, that's his, you know, that's his relation, that's his family. And we're God's blood. We're his blood now. We're not just blood of our earthly mom and dad. We're of a new creation in Jesus Christ. We've got the new man, which is created in true holiness and righteousness after the form of Jesus Christ. So, and when God sees it, he's like, it's my son. You know, that's my blood. If that were the word that you'd use, that's my spirit, you know, and he's madly, madly in love with us. And so we don't have to have any kind of fear or trepidation, or even when we blow it, that we can't go back to him immediately and get cleaned up and get right, you know. And it's not him that leaves us. It's us that leaves him, you know. And we all do it, if we're honest. But some more than others. So I'll raise my hand. But I was encouraged that he'll always be there. You know, he's never going to leave me nor forsake me. And also, on a different note, Lauren said something to me this week that really blessed me, and I got to share it. Because of some experiences I've had in my life, I've had some trepidation of social interaction with people. I suffer from a lot of shyness, and I just have a lot of uneasy time of being social. And, Lawrence said, you just pretend that your life is a movie, and you're the star of the movie, and you're gonna make the it's your movie, so live it, do it the best you can, you know. Don't be afraid of what other people think or how it goes, because it's your movie. And that really kind of spoke to me. You know, it's a good way of a good analogy for overcoming any kind of anxieties. So that's pretty much what I wanted to share, you know, and I hope it blesses people. And it's always my heart to bless you guys. And God bless. You guys are great.
Bless you, Peter.
Bless you, Peter. You've got such a beautiful heart. You really have. And a great humble heart as well. And a meek heart before God. And that's what God looks on, is the heart. It's not anything else. And, you know, we can all walk a million miles away from God. But at the end of the day, each one of us knows where God is, and it's only one footstep to come back. And that's the great thing about it. It's funny, because it takes all the effort and energy to walk away, but it's effortless to come back. And he's always with his arms open for us. I've had the title Prodigal Son before as well. And then I spun it round and said, no, it's not me that's the prodigal son. It's him that's a forgiven father, definitely. So, yeah, I think a few of us have had a taste of that one. But so you're in good company anyway. But thanks for your sharing, Peter.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks so much. Thanks, Jason.
Bless your heart. I know. I enjoy listening to you. And next I'd like to ask Sukina, please, if you'd like to share next, please, sister.
Hello, my beautiful family. I missed you guys.
Sukina, God bless you, darling.
Beautiful sister.
More than you'll know. It's been a challenging, it was a challenging time since we last talked. Had a family members come in, my husband's family. And I have to admit, just a little distracted by, you know, I don't want to say things of the world, because it's family, but when you're around people who, you know, they don't know who they are, they don't know the truth about God and how loving he is, which is so, I'm just so grateful for that revelation that God is a God of love, you know, and that we just walk in it and we receive it. Because for other people out here, it's not like that. And I really have to pray and work on patience, you know, asking God to give me, you know, to give me that patience that I know he so lovingly has for me. Because it's just kind of tough, you know, when you're, you know, what's that verse? Evil communication, corrupt good manners. I have to keep saying it. It's that you got to stay plugged in to the source, which is our Father, our Heavenly Father, who loves us dearly, and he fills us with all of what we need. You know, we're fully equipped. We have all of what we need. And, but there are people and situations that, you know, pick at to the point where, you know, you can forget and you can get pulled away. So it's really, really for me, important to stay connected, you know, because it's not the people, even though I love all of you dearly as my brothers and sisters in Christ, but it's really the power of God that and his presence. He lives within us. He works through us. And he's always with us. He never, never leaves us. But the reality of that and focusing on that, sometimes, not sometimes, the trick of the adversary is for you to switch your attention, right? And as soon as your attention is switched, you don't even realize when it's happening. Because that's where the work is. The work is really staying your mind focused on God. There's nothing else really to do, because then once you do that, he does everything else. Everything flows. He takes care of everything. You know, everything is easy, you know. But once we switch back to the worldly thinking, or not even worldly thinking, or we're around people who are not plugged in, who don't know what the source is, you know, and they don't even know it, but they're looking to us for that light because that Christ is within us, right? And so that's what I've been dealing with the past couple of weeks. And where I need patience is, I'm just being transparent. They're calling me. Where I need I'm being transparent is because I get impatient, because I remember when that person came to me and presented me with the opportunity to walk from, to step out of the darkness into the light, right? We all remember that time in our lives. And for me, I'm just saying, like, I was just so beaten down. There was no fight. I saw it and I ran towards it. And so sometimes I kind of expect that. Like, when I look at people, I just want to help them. I just want to give them that power and that love that God gives us. And not even that, just the reality of his presence, right? That just chases the darkness away. And you want that for people. You want that for people, but we can't want it. We can't possibly want it more than God. So that's, I know, but within myself, I just have to work on just being more patient and understanding that, you know, it's a process for people, and at the same time, I'm the example. How am I going to be impatient, and how am I going to, you know, exemplify that light and speak his words if I block it with my own stupid thinking, you know? But that's just where I am. I'm a little behind in work, so I'm not going to stay, but thank you all, for letting me share. Just pray for me because it has been challenging, and I could not wait to plug in today so that I can hear from God, so that I can hear all of your hearts towards God, because that's what we're doing. We all come together, our hearts united, looking to God, seeking from him, hearing from him, and speaking for him. And that's like the most like bomb, beautiful thing to me. I'm just so appreciative of that. And for Lawrence and Kim, you know, being the facilitator of that, and just continuing to pray for my family members and people who are close to me in my life, you know, to one day, whether it be tomorrow or whenever God has it ordained, that they can come to know that reality of that intimacy and that relationship with the one true God, our Father, who loves us. Love y'all.
Love you.
Love you, Sakina. Thanks for sharing that. And, you know, expect it. Expect a change. Expect to change soon. Because God's a God of swiftness, and he can do the impossible, and he can change people's hearts. He can make our enemies to be at peace with us anyway, whether they believe or don't believe. He can still make it happen. So, oh, bless you. Thanks for sharing that with us. Next, I'd like to ask Barbara, all the way from Germany, if you'd like to share next, please, sister.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Bless you, Barbara.
Bless you, Kim. good to hear everybody and see everybody. I'm really blessed. I'm doing good, and God is blessing me mightily. And so I want to give thanks to God and glory to Him. And yeah, I'm so thankful that I know Him. I know Him, and He is my Father. And I know Him to be good always, at all times, and help me when I needed help. And people forget, and people say all kinds of things, but God is true always. He's always true, and yeah, that's what I'm really, really thankful, that He is true to His word, and I always can rely on Him. That's all I wanted to share. Okay.
Thank you, Barbara. That's wonderful.
Awesome, Barbara.
Yeah, it is awesome. Definitely share that. So next I'd like to ask, what's in my heart? Lynn, would you like to share next, please, sister?
Who?
Lynn.
There you go.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
Yes, you. Wonderful, thanks.
First time here. sort of lost track of Kim and Tor, Lawrence, along the way a couple of years ago. Anyway. So I just found out from Susan Tiller that y'all were having this meeting at 8 p.m. your time and 3 p.m. ours, so I thought I'd listen in and see what was happening since I had lost track with the website and everything else. And I guess Sangits has also moved around, so I'm not quite up to snuff with everything. So, but... We attend another Zoom meeting on Wednesday nights with Steve Morrison, and we also have a fellowship here in Hickory, North Carolina, that we attend. And anyway, it was really good that I tuned in, because I'm getting to hear a lot from other people about how God's working in their lives and things like that. And I'm really blessed that, as Barbara said, God is faithful despite the mistakes we make, and that He's always there, that he can champion our cause, and that He hears us when we pray. And so I just wanted to thank you for the opportunity to join in.
Oh, bless your heart, Lynn. Thank you, Lynn.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's a blessing. So next, back to Bristol, I think. Danny, Amber, have you got anything to share?
God bless you, everyone.
Can you hear us okay?
God bless you guys. Yeah, we can hear you loud and clear.
Love you, darling.
I love you more.
No, I love him more.
No, I love you more.
Love you. Love you the same.
He's my son. All right, favorite child.
He's my favorite
child. Hey, pack in the respective prisoners, okay?
He's lovely. He loves me.
I'm God's favorite child.
Mary Hart, do a good like a medicine.
You love your mummy 100 million, and you love your daddy 100,000. Remember?
Yeah. No, that's wrong, Mum. I'm not four anymore.
Love you guys. So yeah, we're really blessed. Oz kickstart tonight, and is pushing the thing towards me. So I'm sure that I'll be starting tonight. Amen. We're just really, really blessed. The start of this week was a little bit off for me personally. I wasn't feeling that great at the beginning of this week, and really I just have been seeking God in prayer and confessing them really great words, them heavenly words, speaking from the heavenlies that I'm healed, I'm made whole, that I'm blessed, that I am complete. And God has just been able to favor me all week and bless me and just go over and above in my heart and in my life. And I've just really rested this week. And like I shared on Sunday, you know, I've always been a doer. I've always got up and always wanted to do something and needed to do something. And the last year has been a roller coaster of a change for me to be able to settle and not do as much, and to really just rest in God. And this week, you know, I was talking to Danny and I said, Dan, you know, feeling like this. And he said, but just rest, you know. And I was talking to Lawrence and Kim, and they were praying and just saying, just rest, you know, if that's what you have to do this week, just rest. And I really hate resting, really. It's not my strong point, but obviously God's teaching me and he's nurturing me something for me to rest. And so I've just rested this week. I've pampered myself and I've really just been looking to God and everything, reading my word and just listening to some really great teachings. And God is so good, you know, he really is our father. And Satan is a liar. He is the biggest deceiver. And me and Danny were talking the other day, and our words are so powerful. What we say and what we feel in our heart is so powerful, because our tongue, our mouth does bring life or death in every situation. And, you know, Satan don't come along with a joker's outfit on and prance in front of us and be like, I'm coming after you today. No, he uses our words. He uses the way that we're feeling, that we're thinking, what's going on in our circumstances, to try and implement situations. But as we know, we're children of God. We're children of the Most High God. And he created us for a great purpose. And we have Holy Spirit living with us, all thanks to what Jesus Christ did on that cross. And because we have that Holy Spirit living within us, our position can never be moved, and it shouldn't ever be moved. Sometimes the circumstances going on around us will try and distract us or mess up the momentum of where we're going right now. But it's only if we allow it, you know, it's only if we look to that circumstance or look to that situation that we kind of live in Satan's movie rather than living in the way God wants us to live. So we get up every day and we proclaim the promises of God. We say what God says about us. We say what God sees and not what we see. And we manifest that out each and every day. We manifest that and we walk in that no matter what's going on around us. And I've been talking to a few people this week, and I've heard a few people on here today saying there's been lots of things going on, lots of distractions. And really, distraction is a massive thing that can really take us away from God and what God wants for us in that week, because it can be the most subtlest little thing. If that's not feeling 100%, if that's being around people or family that maybe might not be so hot on the word, if that's just going to our jobs and being presented with situations, you know, then little distractions can really try and take us off course and try and mess up that momentum. But we really do have to stand strong and focus and be obedient to what God says. And it takes a practice. On Sunday, on the leaders meeting, which was a really great leaders meeting, and like I said on Sunday, it's really great that Lawrence, God worked that in Lawrence and Kim's heart to do that the last Sunday of every month, because it really do give us an opportunity to share our heart, our desires, and for us to pray for each other, you know, pray one for another, iron sharpeneth iron, like Jason said at the beginning. And so when we have them, and then when we join up here on a Thursday, we're able to get back on track, you know, get that momentum back and really focus on what God is saying and what God wants for us rather than the circumstances. And this week, I obviously God didn't want me to show whatever that was in my head a minute ago. I went off track a bit, but that's okay. So this week I as you all know, that me and Danny, God worked in our heart to start a fellowship on a Tuesday, and God really burnt that. You know, every time I close my eyes, I just see more and more people. I close my eyes as I say it, because again, as you think things, Lawrence has shared it before. If you say something like a color, if I said red, you probably all think red, or if I said a tree. So every time I close my eyes, I think of this fellowship and this vision that God has given me. And thinking about who I am. And this week, because I was not feeling that great, and because of things going on, I really went to God and I just didn't do fellowship this week. I really condemned myself, if that's the right word, even though there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And we really, again, it was just that little bit of a deception, that little bit of a distraction to try and take me off, to try and make me feel bad, and trying to make my feelings override the actual realness of what was going on. But I really did feel it wasn't okay to lead that fellowship or to do that fellowship on Tuesday. So the lady who was coming, she's been coming faithfully every week since the second day, the second week of us running that fellowship. And that was what I was saying. When I shut my eyes, I just see more and more people, and God's given me that vision. God's given me that desire. And the second week, God sent us a laborer, a key laborer. Her name's Helen. And man, she really is a leader type laborer. And then she brought another lady along, and they've been coming faithfully every week. And we've just been sharing. Is not really probably how everyone would probably feel or see a fellowship is run. Because we let God do the work. We let God move. We say to God, me and Danny in prayer every night before the fellowship, before the time, God, you know, this is your home. It's you who's opened the doors. You speak. And some weeks, over the last couple of weeks, is spoken about loads of things and things that people might think, well, that's not really right, or da da da. But it's God led. It's God letting these ladies release what they need to release. God letting these ladies speak in a space that's safe, and being able to really speak them heavenly words from God. So each week they get really touched, really touched. And last week we just got to share about the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, and that people, you can speak in tongues, and me and Danny spoke in tongues, and the lady Helen was really like, wow, like I want to do that. So anyway, this week I really challenged with myself, and I just said, look, I can't run the fellowship this week. I was very honest. I said I was feeling a bit under the weather, and that maybe we'll just reconnect next week. And Helen was absolutely fine. She said, no, that's fine. You know, like, really look forward to seeing you next week. Can I call you this week, please? Because I've got loads of exciting things going on. And I was like, yeah, of course, call me towards the end of the week, because I'm just like resting at the moment. And so this week, because I've not been feeling under the weather, I've really gone to God, and I've been upset with myself for like not being Amber, not being like the energetic lady that I am. And I'm like, God, what's going on? You know, I don't want to feel like this, and I want to be able to just see your I just want to see things move. And with me cancelling fellowship, like, that's not me staying obedient, and I'm really sorry. And I know we don't have to really say sorry to God, but God's my dad, and if I have promised to do something for my earthly father or mother, then I'm gonna say sorry to them. You know, that's just who I am, and it's an honor that I'm able to say sorry to God. Not that he's up there condemning me, but it's an honor for me to be able to say sorry, God, like, I made this commitment, but you know, greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. And next week I'm going to be straight back on it. And I just had some fun with God this week, because that's what it's all about, God, guys. Like what Kathy was sharing, joy to the world and joy to ourselves, because we have to be joyful in everything that we're doing. If we're feeling under the weather, if we're around people we don't really want to be around, if there's situations arising that isn't very comforting to us, we have the perfect comforter living within us. And so that was it throughout my week. And then today I was feeling a lot better, and I just said to God, like, again, I'm sorry about the fellowship, like, but what could you have me do this weekend? Because I want to do things for you, God. Like, I refuse to do everything in my own strength. Like, I haven't worked for over a year, and I need to be doing something now. I'm not a kind of person who can just sit around. I can do certain things, you know. I want to be doing stuff that I've put to the side to do anything of this world, you know, and to really want to do things from God and what God wants me to do. And I told God, like, I refuse to make one step or say one word if it's not from him. And sometimes it can be a bit boring and a bit lonely and a bit like unsure, because we don't know what God's doing. We just have to have confidence, trust and faith that God is moving, just like Abraham with the promise, like he with the promise, because he could have thought all these things, you know. It was a bit boring, I haven't got a son yet, or da 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 da. And sometimes it can get like that, guys, you know. Sometimes it can really feel a bit like, well, what's going on? And for me, I felt a bit like that this week, even though that I felt unwell, I've felt like that. And I've just been like, no, it's not okay. Like, God, I know that you're moving. I know that you have great works for me. I know that this isn't going to last. I know that you've got multiple people coming to our fellowship, and there's going to be fellowships all over Bristol and the United Kingdom. And you've got great works for me and Danny to do, spiritual works, godly works, you know, not works that we want to do, because we've done everything, you know. Even to like going partying or going to see friends or socializing with family or just going and doing the things of the world, it doesn't entertain us. And we even sat here last night and was like, God, if anyone looked at me, they would think we were two boring people, because there is nothing. Like, we would much rather sit at our home in our flat on our own, talking about God, reading God's word, and just do it, and just praying and believing that God is going to do a great work, than to do the things that the world is offering. And so anyway, with all that put aside, I just went about my day today. I went shopping, I started to build my strength up, really great. And my friend, the laborer, Helen, well, she's my friend too, texted me, and she just said, Amber, your phone's been off. I've been trying to ring you a few times. Are you okay? And I turned my phone on. When I turned my phone on, because I didn't realize it had died. And I texted her back, said, yeah, everything's fine. My phone died. I've just come back from shopping. Is everything okay? And she was just like, Amber, I'm so excited. You know, God is really doing some great things. I want to share it with you. Or do you and Danny want to come round tomorrow and really just let me share what's going on? Let's meet. Are you free to meet? She said, because I told her that I was getting ready for this fellowship, so I didn't have long, and she can talk, so I need to give her that time to be able to talk as well. So I just expressed that she could talk for a couple of minutes on the phone if she wanted. But she said, no, come round tomorrow. I could even give you something to eat. But God is really doing something really great. And by the way, is it okay if I bring somebody else on Tuesday? But it's not Nikki, this lady who she's been working with, you know. It's not this lady who she initially was going to bring, but she didn't come. She ended up bringing this other lady, Sue, which was a complete different lady. And now she's going to bring somebody else, which is a completely different person. I don't even know if it's a man or a woman. I didn't even ask. It's not why, there's no need to ask, you know. I'll get the name probably tomorrow. Because it's God doing the work. It's God who's sending. It's God who gave me that vision. And when I shut my eyes, he shows me the people that are going to be before us and the people that we're going to minister to. And not because we think that we're better than anybody else or we're doing things because, and things might not be like that for everybody else, but God is just doing something in us that is supernatural. It's a miracle. And it's because we are really seated from that heavenly place. There's lots going on this week. And for me, I could have been really beaten and battered. I could have been led in my bed, moping around. I could have just been, oh, well, look, I'm ill, da, 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 but I didn't. I started to confess them good things. I started to say what God said. I started to believe in my heart what God said, that I was well and that God got great works for us, even though it seems boring, even though we're not doing anything, because me and Danny aren't. Not that I want to confess this out, but we're not great visionaries, you know. We don't get up on a day of that, yes, we're going to do all these amazing things, because that's just not us. We're quite, like, yeah, simple people. And so God really does have to do it, you know. God really does have to do the work. So to hear that from Helen today, her excitement, her buzz, just, and then it was just before I was coming on here as well, it just really gave me that joy, that peace, that comfort that God wants us to have all the time, because God is working. God is our father. He's our daddy. And when we come into alignment with him, when we take ourselves out of the enemy's movie and put ourselves in God's truth, then great things are able to happen. And many people say to me, you know, but how? Like, I was speaking to my sister today and like, how does it? What about this? What about that? What about this? And I just looked at Danny and I was just like, she's not ready. She's not ready to receive the words from God, because there's just too many questions. And I'm not saying that people shouldn't have questions, because sometimes questions are good and they're valid. But sometimes God knows the people that are ready. He knows the people that are going to hear the word, receive it in their heart and manifest it out. You know, like when it says that when thou believe in thy heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, when thou shalt believe, I can't really say it, I'll do the scripture from heart, but we believe it. And we have to have that belief in everything that we're doing. But God sends forth the hungry people, the people he knows. You know, he's searching the hearts of people daily. He knows the people that are ready. And when they're ready, they don't have all these questions. They just hear, they listen, and they do. Like what's happening in India, and like what's happening, I'm sure, all over the world with different people in ministries, because people are just listening and receiving because they're ready. And that's what's been happening with me and Danny. We were ready to receive the word. We were ready to give up everything, in a sense. Not I'm telling anyone has to give up anything, but for us, there was things we had to leave. And we surrendered everything to God. And we said, right, now this is your time to shine in our life. This is your time to do the work, no matter what's in front of us, you know. And he's doing the work. He has gone over above, exceedingly abundantly above all I can ask or think again this week. In even the dullest of moments, he's able to bring us up and enlighten our eyes and say, I am with you. I'm your father. I'm holding you by that right hand. You are sat next to me. I have my arm wrapped right around you, and just keep trusting me, keep moving and keep walking. And yeah, he doesn't phase to amaze me. That's the wrong word. But yeah, he never ceases to amaze me, our God, our dad, because when we go to him, when we go to him with our full heart and we say, look, this is what we want. This is what we're desiring. Do it, God. And you know what I've noticed, like really from the last year of really being fully full on for God, is that he puts the desires there anyway. He puts the way that he wants us to move in our heart, and then we just act upon it. We might think we know what we want, and we probably can say what we want all the time. But when it's truly that desire from God, like running this fellowship, he does the work. I can't believe that we're going to be going to have food with this lady tomorrow, which me and Danny don't ever do. That he's already given us work to do. He's already filled our day up. We didn't really have anything to do tomorrow. And I was a bit apprehensive for not feeling that great. And like God opened the door, and then we've got a busy weekend with my sister's children. And and then we've got Fellowship Tuesday. So God is giving us work, you know, and he's going to end up giving us so much that we're probably going to end up being like, whoa, God, like, we need rest. But no, I don't confess that. I don't want to rest. I can rest when I'm asleep. Yeah. So that's all I really wanted to share today, guys. Just stay blessed. No matter what distractions you've got going on right now, no matter what is in front of you, if it doesn't seem from God and his kingdom, then push it to one side, cast it down. It may take a bit of practice, it may take a bit of time, and it may take a bit of obedience to do that, but it will go, it will move, you know, the mountain will move when you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, it will go. And that's something I'm seeing, to the point where I couldn't even get out of my bed on Monday, to the point now where I am up, out, been shopping, joining fellowship, and have a whole weekend full of stuff to do with God. Not that I'm doing God's work, but God's able to work through me in a way that's not even known to the world. So whatever distractions you've got going on, just cast it to a side. Any imagination that exalts itself above God, cast it out. Keep practicing the key principles of speaking in tongues, honoring God, and just being led by that spirit. Because when we're doing them three things, we're in a powerful place, guys. So, yeah, that's really what I wanted to share. God bless you, and I love you all, and it's great to be here with you all tonight.
Yes, you do. That's really great. Really great. And yeah, God bless you all. That was really wonderful, Amber, what you shared. And it is, it's just really simple, and that we are blessed by God, and he has placed us and positioned us on his right hand side. And that when he looks at us, he sees Christ, and that he loves us, and he has us highly positioned in his sight. And he is well pleased with us because he paid that high price through Jesus Christ. And that, you know, there was a mighty sacrifice made so that we could have full access to God. And that now we can really say what we want and not what we see. And this is a really powerful principle, and that we can operate in God's principles with these simple things to do, and which is to believe, and to believe with your whole heart, and whatever circumstances that arise up against us, we know that God is for us, and that God is going to work out the situation for us because he is faithful and true to what he says. And it's really awesome because we are blessed. We're blessed people. And when we start to see how God sees, then we are already blessed. We're already transformed. We see it. And when we do the three keys, which is honoring God, and, you know, doing these keys are very, very important because it's a natural what the Lord would do. And that is walking by the Spirit. And when we position ourselves, you know, we got to be in the right position. Jason said it earlier and it blessed me because we do need to be in the right position to be able to receive from God. And we've been placed in that position, which is right already, but we have to see and know and to affirm ourselves in the sound words that are being shared. Because if we're always agreeing with the narrative of the ungodly, then this is going to produce no fruit for us from God. And the doors are closed, and it's not that God doesn't want to bless us, but it's just because of how we are seeing and the action and the choices that we might make. So being in the right position with God is very important. And there's God has left his word, which is what we can do, which is to give. Like, honoring God is a very big key, which I am seeing for myself, which is great. Like, all grace is abounding to me. I am blessed. I am super abundantly blessed. Like, it was great that this month it was time to give. I'm excited. I'm ready to give because I'm seeing that it's not about the money, but it's about my walk with God. And that I'm walking and doing everything heartily unto the Lord, and that I am being led by the Spirit. And this is what God's working with me at the moment, is just with this, you know, sowing and not eating the seed that we've been given, and to be able to really bless and to walk with God and to let him go to work on our behalf, because it's not about what we think and what we feel. But it's understanding that we are already positioned. So no matter how I feel, if I'm feeling down, if I'm feeling sad, I can switch that straight away and God goes straight to work right away. Like, okay, no, this is not right thinking. God, I'm going to think rightly. And then I confess, and then I believe it within my heart. I see it. And like, this is how God works. It's like, straight away, as soon as you put your heart and your mind to God, he goes to work, because we are in the age of grace. He's our Father. He loves us. So, like, turning your heart towards God and positioning yourself, you know, we've said it on air a few times about checking ourselves. And when time goes and we haven't been fellowshipping with one another, and we get entangled, well, like with the affairs of the world, that we don't want to be entangled affairs of the world, but we want to say those right things and being bold. Like, you know, when they received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, they were positioned in the right place at the right time, and they received, and they were bold. They spoke, they even prayed for boldness, and God shook the place. So, like, we are in this great position of power and authority, and we can really say these things, and they just happen. They just come into being because it's what God is saying. It says in 1 John that, you know, anything you ask according to his will, he will do it. God will do it. God will perform it for us because we're on his wavelength. We're in the right position, connecting to the source, the creator of heaven and earth. And, you know, it's not about us and how we feel. Like, it's a really important, like, really, in a sense, every day you have to die. Like, that old man has to die. You have to put that old man to death pretty much every day, because obviously it's not a work thing. It just becomes natural, because when the negative comes, which is the old man, you just say what God says, which is created in the new man. And it's very simple. This is very simple keys. And when you practice these keys, you pick up God's frequency, and you know what's right from wrong. You know, you get like the Holy Spirit, which Jesus said he would send. Like, it's directing, it's showing us, it's communicating with us, because we're not doing what we want. We've surrendered and we want to do what God wants us to do, which is walking by the Spirit, which is speaking those heavenly things, speaking the truth in love, and really proclaiming Christ and, you know, where we stand now, and that we can have all things. We can have all grace abound. We don't have to be up and down. Like, so when the storms come, we're not moved. So it's a happy life all the time, happyville all the time. It's really true. Even if things are popping up around you, circumstances, winds are blowing heavy, it doesn't matter. We're blessed. Because these circumstances can't shape and mold us, because God is the potter. God is the one who's shaping and shifting us. So we need to keep our focus and our heart. You know, it starts from the heart, and with the heart and really thinking on God and his way. We're going to screw up. We're not perfect, but that's not the focus. The focus is that I am as he is right now. As he is, so are we. And God always causes us to triumph. Always. Like, this is the truth. And I am more than victorious in every situation. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. For it's the will of God. It's the will of God that these things are happening for you. But it takes that choice of saying, okay, God, like, you have your will in my life today. And it's an every day. Like, tomorrow, we don't need to take thought for tomorrow, because God already has it in his hands. We don't need to seek after worldly things. But if we seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, then all these things are going to be added to us. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Like, very simple, very simple. And, you know, I've been at work this week and it's been great. God's opened doors where I get to share and I get to be a blessing and I get to hold forth. But I don't share with everyone, only who God shows me to share. I don't cast my pearls before swine. So to speak, that means people not being ready to receive the words from God. And not saying that they won't ever be ready, because they might be. But, you know, such as should be saved. And that's what it's about. That's the people we're praying for. We want who such as should be saved. So we ask God to send those hungry ones to come and to receive the words, and that we may bring light to darkness. And that is God doing the work. That the power and the authority is from God and not from us. We're just in a place where we get to see what God does, and we get to enjoy the great benefits of what God is doing. And we get to be utilized in that. But again, it takes choice. Like, you can change it right now, any situation, even in your heart and your mind. If you feel like you're not there right now, you can change it right now. Like, you just change it. No, I say what God says. I am blessed. I am on the right hand side of God. He causes me to triumph. I am blessed. I speak it out. Speak it out loud. and affirm it in your heart and in your mind. And because we have power over darkness. And when darkness tries to rise, we shine brighter. That's how it should be. We shouldn't co-align with the darkness and go into ourselves, but be bold. And don't be afraid to get help from a brother or sister in hand. Like, we fight together. This is a good fight of faith. And we do have power and authority in the name of Jesus Christ. And there's nothing wishy-washy with us being bold and saying, as we live only unto God, God will have his will be done. And that's why it's important that we check ourselves and we position ourselves to receive, to be a blessing, to want to serve, to ready to give an answer, whoever asks about that hope that's in us. Like, this is really, really on my heart, and it's burning, because when it's God's way, things, it just explodes. And so I'm just really blessed and really honored to see what God is doing and being taught by my Heavenly Father and by my lovely wife, and just seeing the growth and seeing what God is doing, being like-minded, and just really seeing the fruit of what God is doing in our personal life. It's just, I'm amazed. I'm truly, truly amazed. And it's for everyone. And we begin. We're all called to reconcile people back to God. So let's all get on that wonderful horse and let's ride this race with God instead of walk it. just a joke. But yeah, so bless you. That was what was on my heart. Love you all. God bless you.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you.
And next, I'd like to ask Bambi to share, please, if you would, sister.
Hey everyone, Jason, can you please come back to me? I just got a sandwich.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, so, in that case, how about Scott? What's in your heart, brother?
Hello.
Hey.
God's blessings, everyone. Okay. You just adjust the old computer here. And, all right. Well, not much going on today, and I'm just really blessed to be here and just listening to what everybody's been sharing, and realize that just how great and wonderful it is that we have a wonderful, powerful, mighty God who loves us all dearly, and really, like, no matter what adversities we face in this world and whatever challenges, nothing that we face is bigger than God. When fear sets in when we start making our problems bigger than God. But we know that he is with us at all times. He never leaves us. And there's nothing that he can't do for us. And you know, I'm just so blessed, not only the people in the body of Christ, but that our Father is with us at all times, and that our Jesus Christ is right at his right hand, and that we're taken care of. And, you know, so we just love and encourage each other, and just be comforted in knowing that our Father is like right there in fellowship with us at all times. And, really, you know, from the non-believing world standpoint, those challenges and adversities are, those things are like, overwhelming to them, because, they don't have anybody to turn to. God's there for them, but they reject them. The non-believing world rejects God. So as Sangat used to always share with me about the non-believing world, it's like they're just rolling the dice and taking their chances. But we have a powerful, almighty God that's with us at all times. And there's nothing he can't do for us. There's no challenge or adversity that's too big for him. And, you know, we just I heard a lot of people sharing today about like distractions, worldly distractions, and that's where we have that discipline to just turn our focus to God and just refocus on him and not allow the distractions of this world to turn our attention away from him. You know, and I know it gets challenging at times, and you know, sometimes the temptation is there to turn away from God and to turn our attention to this world and all its distractions. So that's where we have that discipline to just refocus on God and tune into him and away from this world, which is controlled by the adversary, and just get back into fellowship with him. So that's pretty much what I wanted to share, to stay tuned with God. And everything that Lawrence was sharing before was right on, because he has works for us, and he's going to guide us specifically as far as what we need to do. You know, we just put our desires that are on our hearts, just put it in his hands and let him do the rest. So God bless you, everyone. And now just keep the focus on God and be comforted knowing that he'll never lead you down the wrong path. And really, that's what it's all about. It's about him. So God bless everyone. And thanks for this opportunity to share. And again, for Lawrence and Kim opening their homes, and just for everyone that's here with me today. We're all in fellowship together, all of us, with our Father and his Son right at our side. So God bless everyone. And I'll pass it back to you.
Bless your heart, Scott. God bless you, Scott. Thank you very much for your sharing that. In fact, a couple of things came to mind as well. Kim shared last week, I think it was, about race horses, right? When they're running a race, they got blinkers on at the sides of their eyes, so anything around them cannot distract them. So the only thing they see is what's in front of them and the direction they're going in. And because if they get distracted, they may not reach that finish line. Now, there's a finish line for us, you know, albeit when the Lord comes back and gathers us, but we don't know when that day is going to be. We don't know whether we'll be alive and remaining in that day or if we won't be. But we still push for that finish line while we've got breath. And we don't give up on the things of God, no matter what's going on. The distractions, they are there, because that's the way this world has become geared. But we have peace in our hearts because we have the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. And when we've got that, it's like Lawrence said about dreams and desires. And we were all born with a dream. And the dream was God's purpose for our lives. And it's just waking up to what that dream is and pursuing after it and not letting the giants stand in our way, like Lawrence was saying. So, it just triggered that back in my mind again. So, it's great. And when we're all on that same page, and we all got the same understanding, then we're going to move powerfully, very powerfully. So I'm going to ask Frank to share next, please, if you've got anything, brother.
He's gone off there, come back on.
Okay.
Patricia's on the street, she said, so she won't share.
Okay.
How about Madeline and Michael?
Madeline and Michael, do you want to share next, guys? My brother and sister in Ireland. God bless you both.
God bless you. It was wonderful listening to everybody this evening, and Kathy, I'm definitely with you on the happiness thing. Like, I've had a lovely life. My childhood was beautiful, you know, practically perfect, you know, and I had, so I knew happiness in my life and joy and that protection from mom and dad and, you know, especially my father. And when daddy died and God became my father the following year, I expected God to be even more of a great blessing than my earthly father, who was the greatest. You know, my earthly father, Sean, my dad, he sent me off around Europe, you know, when I dropped out of art school, which, you know, okay, looking back, he spoiled me a bit, to see the galleries and write home to him about all the art I would see. And he just gave so much of his love and his time. He studied honors maths so he could coach the boys who were doing maths the following year. He studied in advance so he could help them. That's the kind of father he was. Anything we wanted to know, he'd put down his newspaper or whatever, and he would look it up in the National Geographic. We didn't have a TV till I was 14. We didn't really miss it. He took us camping. He did all kinds of wonderful things with us. Anyway, God became my father. And so I did expect God to be even more amazing than my dad. And I appreciate that not everybody was blessed like I was with a father. You know, I've met many Christian believers who didn't have that wonderful relationship with their father and sometimes found it hard to believe that God is as good as he is and loves us even more than a mother loves her child, her breastfed child. And that's unimaginable, that kind of love, but it is what God has for us. And he does care about the small stuff in our lives. Yeah, he does. Absolutely. Because my daddy did. He cared about the small stuff. My daddy would just be brushing my hair and drying it. You know, I mean, what father does that? But my heavenly father, how could he possibly be less than that? And I was watching Robert at the football match with the kids, and his small little boy, little Jensen, is leaning into his daddy at the edge of the field just before the match, before the game. And daddy's hands are here on his shoulder, like down around him like this, you know. And he's leaning in, standing into his daddy. And from that vantage point, little Jensen was able to withstand the awesomeness of playing a football game with all the other kids. And there's nothing any kid out there could say to him that could possibly reach him standing from that vantage point with his big daddy behind him and two arms around his kind of neck and chest, you know. And from that vantage point, he had confidence. He knew he was loved. He felt safe and secure in that love and was able to run out onto the field knowing that that love, you know, that feeling was still with him, you know. So nothing could touch him, you know, even, you know, and boys call each other names and everything, like, oh, you're in Egypt and everything. And, you know, his dad says, well, is that the liar, a liar or the truth? And Jensen goes, it's a lie, daddy. And he says, well, who tells you the truth? Jesus does. You know, but he feels that love of his father, and so does little Michael, you know, the two kids. And so and that's the vantage point I stand. And for a year and a half or so, whatever, I've been having a Zoom fellowship, not fellowship, oh my goodness, well, fellowship if it means sharing, you know, and chatting with my family, my brothers and sisters, and none of them really have come to the Lord. So they're there fixing the problems of the world and talking about COVID and how we deal with one of the family, you know, who's feeling a bit down and everything. And over the years, I have shared God's word with them, the love of God shared, and they see my life even, you know, and they all came from the same father. I don't know how they wouldn't want a heavenly father. It just amazes me. But I'm sitting there on that Zoom call from that vantage point of my Heavenly Father with his arms wrapped around me, and I'm leaning well into him. So that stuff doesn't touch me any more than the stuff touches little Jensen or Michael when Big Daddy is standing there and they're leaning into him. There's nothing can touch you when you're leaning in like that. And as I was driving to work the other day, my workplace can be different most days, or that God has blessed us with this gorgeous home and a big, big double shed where all my art materials and I do framing in there, and lovely gardens and gorgeous neighbors that we love, and this beautiful house that we never saved for. I never saved a penny for a mortgage in my life. I don't even know what a mortgage is. And I own this house. My name's on it. Too funny. And Michael. But God, you know, blessed us with this. But so I work here sometimes, you know, I have a studio upstairs. But oftentimes I take off out to be with other artists and just meet people with my little easel and my paint and everything. And I was driving to work, and it is my work. I have a lovely location along the River Walk in a little place called Goethe Historical Village that has an amazing history, and castles and beautiful things. And this River Walk is so beautiful. And I was driving along there, and as usual, even though we have motorways in Ireland, before I got onto the motorway, I was on a country road and there were loads of cars behind me. And Irish drivers are buggers for passing you out at great speed, even on these small country roads. It's just a cultural thing here. It's horrible. Gary, my brother, was saying in the States, like, people are way more considerate. They'll kind of try and stay behind you a little bit. They're not doing that. But anyway, there was a tractor in front of us, and all the farmers are working at the moment in the fields. They're saving hay for the cows. They're doing a lot of work at the moment, and we need to be a little bit mindful of them and thankful and be considerate, you know, so I don't go flying past them all the time. And behind the tractor was a big, big Jeep with a horse box, and I was behind them. And there were cars behind me, and some were flashing because they wanted me to pass out the tractor and the horse box. I wasn't having any of this. First of all, because there were bends and twists in the road, and it just wasn't safe. And I could hear horns beeping behind me, and they were beeping at each other. And then this one car, he must have taken on about five cars and shot past, breaking the speed limit, of course. And there's never any police around when you need them. And the next thing, I could see the horse getting distressed. And I love animals now. So the horse is kind of moving from side to side in the horse box, and I could hear him neighing, you know. And I made a decision right there. I'm going to sit behind this horse box and speak in tongues. And I'm going to be, I don't know, his place, his vantage point, until they turn into a farm or whatever. And I sat behind the horse box, I suppose for a good few miles, maybe 7-8 miles. And the cars behind me were going nuts. And some of them were passing out, and they were beeping. And as they were beeping, the horse was getting really distressed. And I began speaking in tongues. And after a few minutes of speaking in tongues, and I had my hand up like this, I was just like, Father, just take care of this beautiful animal. And the horse began to visibly calm down. I could see he began to visibly stop shaking the horse box and looking around and trying to pull on, you know, the reins that were holding him. And it's not that the farmer was being cruel. He was just transporting them. People in Ireland love their horses. They take great care of them. They really, really do. But I sat behind this guy, and the horse was as calm as anything. And it just gave me so much pleasure to do that. Because, you know, God loves us. And he knows what blesses our hearts. And he knows I really care about animals, you know. And I was so blessed with this horse. And, of course, they were flying past. They were flashing. They were whatever. And let them off like they was. And They eventually all passed me up, and I stayed behind the horse box. I didn't go onto the motorway for a while, and he turned off into a farmer. And as he was turning, I just went out the window like that, you know, and he waved. Now, he knew I had been sitting behind him, and he was probably wondering, why isn't she passing me out? But I know it blessed him. I have no idea. Maybe I'll meet him at the return of Christ. I don't know. And then I took off down the motorway to work and to my little river walk and began painting for the day. And God just showed me so much pleasure in that. And I met a baby otter that day as well. And he shouldn't be out during the day, so I began praying for him. And before I got anxious about it, the little guy started bouncing around. So I thought, okay, he's well able to move. He'll be fine. God will take care of him. So he took off away into the bushes near the river. And I got to meet great people that day that I got to share about God and about the Word and about, you know, God's beautiful creation. And just I just got people to stop and look at the weeds and how pretty they were and the water and just stop and smell the roses, you know. And I guess no great miracles of healing or anything went on that day, I don't know. But I got people, some people took my card and they're getting in touch with me, and I took people's numbers as well to get in touch with them. So that was what I had to share, just the happiness that wonderful God gives to us, you know, allows us to live like that. Hi, Jane. So I'll pass you over to my happy husband. Put a big smile on your face there.
Yeah. Hi, Jason and Lawrence and Kim. Thank you.
Hi, guys. God bless.
God bless you guys.
I was just thinking that, you know what, this evening that you could know every verse of scripture from Genesis to Revelation. And if they don't apply to you, they mean nothing. You may as well be reading the Dandy or the Beano. Makes no difference whatsoever. You know, and I could quote verses of scripture here for the rest of the night. But unless I can attach myself to certain verses of scripture which has worked for me, and it's only when they work for me that I can say, yeah, that worked. And God has shown his hand to me many, many times in many situations where I had my back to the wall and I just gave my all to God, because he said, there are over 900 promises in God's word. But without going into a whole bunch of promises, the ones that apply to me is that he has said to me he would never leave me or forsake me. Now, I have been in situations where I say, God, okay, let's show me. What do I do? You know, I can recall being in Berlin, and I arrived there to a contractor who was, let's say the least, to call him a crook would say he was decent. That's how twisted this guy was. But anyway, I arrived there for a position that didn't exist, didn't have a lot of funds, really, and I just prayed about this thing, and I just gave to God, and I remember being put in contact with another company in Dublin who said there was a similar position down in Cologne. I didn't realize at the time that Cologne was 500 miles from Berlin, but God stayed with me. He got me there. And sometimes I wake up in kind of a, it's like waking up in a cold sweat and realizing, how did I do these things? And the only reason I know how I did these things is I had Christ within me. I got in Christ to me, as Lawrence said to him. He's real, right? And if he wasn't real, I wouldn't be sitting here this evening. What's the point? You know, God is real. And Jesus Christ is real. And he paid the price for me. Now,
If you paid a price for something for me this evening, why do I try and pay the price for this myself over and over again? God pays the price for me through his son, Jesus Christ. I was bought and paid for. Paid for in blood. There's nothing owed in me. Now there's guys in the world who might think I owe them some money, but I owe nothing to God. Jesus Christ paid that price with his blood for me. So I'm free. Okay? And where does that put me? That means that I have been transported from this world into the heavenly realms. I'm seated in the heavens. Right now, that's where I am. My physical body is here on this planet Earth. It's not my home. You know, I'm a stranger. It's not my home, and I'm a foreigner. My passport is heaven. And I can say all these things, but without God showing me in various situations that he's real, absolutely showing me, pulling me by the back of the neck and shake me and say, look, this is what you do. I have been in situations here. I can remember another situation where I was in charge of a particular project and the architect had made a mess of things. He had no solution. Put it very bluntly, Monday morning came, if I couldn't solve it, I didn't have a job. Okay. But I didn't solve it. God solved it. In such a remarkable way, I could. You know, I prayed about this, and I went into that site on Monday morning thinking, well, you know, these guys are coming to fix this roof, put on this new roof. There's various levels, and I can't work it out. God, I know you have an answer to it. And the head carpenter arrived, and he got out of his bed. He said, Mick, we do X, Y, and Z. I said, yeah. And that was it. I said, let me sketch that. Bang it off by fax to the architect, get his approval, and away we go. And I said, thank you, God. Now, that's where I see God working is, I didn't have a job without I trusting in God that day. It was gone. And we were new in the area. Madeline was there, our boys were there. Everything was a bit new in this particular area. I was down in West Clare and having moved from Cork. And God, he's never late. I can get frustrated. I can get really frustrated in the sense that things are not happening quickly enough. I want everything to happen. At the moment, we're trying to plan to go away for an anniversary. It's our anniversary this Sunday, the 4th of July.
He's planning,
I can't figure out why it's the 4th of July, but that's it. But it was the 4th of July, so I cannot forget I was married on the 4th of July. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so we got a dog, and I'm trying to figure out what to do with the dog because he's part of the family as well. And yeah, anyway, I said to God, we got a dog, I got a wife, and we got to get somewhere. Now, I leave it to you because if I get involved in this, I'm going to make a mess of this. So I'm just waiting patiently what he's going to come up with, and I know it's going to be great. Now, this is God working in overdrive, if you want to. And the reason he has done all these things for me, yeah, and for my family, is that he loves us, absolutely loves us. And all he has ever, I'm going to just shut up with this, all he has ever asked me to do, believe his word and trust him. Yep, just trust. And I often remember people saying, if you do X, Y, and Z, and you come up there, and you come up, and you, after trusting an individual, you say, oh, that didn't work out, you know. But with God, God is not a liar. God is not a man that he should lie. He doesn't lie. His word is true. Trust. Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Lawrence.
Thank you so much. Jason, can I just say one very quick? I'm sorry. I promise I won't go on. You know, about your house, I will pray about that too. I didn't know, you know, you were looking for your perfect home. But,
no, I'm not looking for it. I'm just expecting God to do it.
That's what I meant. Yeah. There are alternative ways with God. You know, we never, we've owned loads of properties, and I'm not saying our way is your way, but we never really looked at the only world's way of acquiring a property or whatever. We'll be praying about that with you. Yeah, it's great.
I'm thinking of the promised land.
Mm. That's right. Yeah.
That's where I'm going.
Fabulous.
Much appreciated. Yeah. Well, with that, thank you very much for your sharings. That's awesome sharings. Very awesome. Great testimonies. And yeah, God gave us animals to care for, right? So for man on earth to care for the animals in the nature. So yeah, that's great. Great heart. So now I think, Bambi, are you ready to share yet?
Yes, I am no longer eating that sandwich. Thank you. I got the sandwich this afternoon from this deli, and it's just a $10 sandwich, and I've had it once before, and sometimes it's just such an expensive sandwich, but it is such a good sandwich. And so I ate the first lunch, and I just really was having a hard time focusing knowing the rest of that sandwich was in the refrigerator. So thank you all so much. That was it's just a blessing to have those little things, you know? It's just so nice that you can get those little treats in life that God blesses with. But that was just a great sharing, Michael. Thanks so much. That's so funny because that's how I operate too with work. Like, I'll be very frank. I have a bunch of degrees, but I don't know what I'm doing. I have just learned that God puts me in jobs. He always has. God is just, people have called me. I've never applied for the job. This job, the people contacted me. I don't know how they got my information. I was in Nicaragua. The job I had in Nicaragua, the people called me and said, we need a Christian preschool teacher. Okay. So, you know, now I'm here working with the preschool. I really don't know what God's plan is. I've stopped really questioning it because I used to question it because I recognize he knows what he's doing. So, you know, I was hired at this job I have now to do logistics for a federal office running grants, planning in-person events. Now I plan virtual events and work in language justice. I'm not really sure what that means, but that's what I do now. And, you know, it's just so funny because my supervisor, she just always tells me, she's like, you're just always so calm. And I don't want to scare her, but the reason why I am so calm, and I think if she knew the truth, is that I'm not concerned about it because it's not my problem. And so she's like, you just always handle the things. And it's just amazing. And I tell you what, it was so funny because it's not me. It's all God. You know, I just follow his lead. And it's so funny because sometimes you get a feeling about something. I said this before. We need to really trust that instinct that something is off. And I didn't do that recently. I hired someone to do a job and there was just something that was just not right there, but I wasn't paying that much attention to it. And the person kept having issues with this and issues with that. And you know, there's a certain type of person that walks spiritually and not with God, and they create chaos and confusion. And I started to recognize that was going on. And so we got on the training, had a big 3-day event, just ended yesterday. And you know, I've said it before, it's what the adversary tries to do for our harm, God can turn around for our good. And so we're on the training, we get on, and the interpreter comes on, and they quit on the spot. On the spot, we're about to go to the training, and they said, I can't interpret. And I had 7 minutes till showtime, and I have to have a Spanish access line. And so I said, okay, goodbye. And they tried to go back and forth. Well, do you need me? Should I be here? Maybe I can try. And I was like, no, I'm not interested in this. This is confusion. I'm allergic to drama. So I immediately had the person kicked out of the room. I had everyone block the person. I said, I'm not dealing with this. And then I called an agency that I've worked with in the past. As, you know, and of course I'm praying mentally with, you know, talking to God at the same time. I'm like, God, you know, we're in this situation. And I called the lady and I said, you know, I need an interpreter. And she said, for when? I said, 7 minutes? She goes, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. But you know what? God came through, and 7 minutes later I had everything signed, because there are all these legal things you have to do when you record people who are doing interpretation, all this stuff. Everything came together. One of the people doing the training is bilingual, and so they kicked off the direction aspect of the training. My lead interpreter started off. We got the guy in. He did a good job. And it was so amazing, because at the end of the training, you know, Satan had meant that for my harm. But it came out, everyone, they were like praising me, and they contacted my supervisor, and they said, you know, Bambi was just so calm. I just don't know how she didn't panic. And yeah, you know, because that has to be God. There's no way I could do that. You know, if I started doing things, like you said, Michael, I just mess it up. So I've learned to sit back and let God direct. And, you know, he does have the solution. And I got my cat sitter, because I'm going out of town soon. I shared with you all about that. She just contacted me last night, and she's moving. She will be able to cat sit for me. But again, I know God's going to have somebody. He didn't bring me this far to forget about the cats at this point. So every time I have a need or something is happening in life, whether it be, you know, it just, and Satan likes to throw us off. Like everyone's been sharing, there are these things in life, there are these distractions that can get us, get our focus off of God and onto the situation. And as long as we don't look at the situation, we focus on God and be like, you know, hey, you know that's going on, right? He comes in. He just comes in every single time. So my event was over, and I get the next 4 days off, which will be really nice. I've got great plans. I heard someone sharing at some point. I don't think it was in this fellowship, but someone said your home is a representation of your mind state. And I thought, ooh, I've got a closet. If that represents my mind state, I need to get that cleaned out. So I'm going to be tackling this closet this weekend. I'm really excited about getting that organized so that my home is a representation of me in all respects, not just a closet that I open that I don't want anyone to see, because it's pretty much a situation. So thank you all so much. I love being here, and that's what I have today.
Wonderful, Bambi.
Yeah, wonderful. Thank you, Bambi. That's great. Great encouragement. Yeah, it just looks good and everything. So next, over to Frank again. Frank, are you ready to share, brother?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm so blessed to listen to all the sharings and the encouragement. And then I'm very thankful to God. This week was smooth. Today was a rest day because I work a night tomorrow. And I was working and just looking to only to God and speaking in tongue and sharing when the door opened. And yesterday in the morning I met my neighbor, and she was because there was two dogs in the street, and the door of her garden was opened, and I just knocked the door and asked if it was her dogs, but she said no, it's someone else, and we just began to speak because she has son. Comment on dit les petits fils? I don't know how to say, but it was like the boy of her son, and he had some problem with his heart, you know, and a malformation, something like that, and I just, you know, spoke to her and I was saying, asking her, are you a believer? She said yes. And I think I was feeling she was a believer. And it is the first time we speak about it. And I was saying to her, you are seated at the right hand of God and healing is available. Different things that are encouraging her, and it stopped at one time because I had to go. And yes, just not so much to say, but I'm very blessed, and God is really at work in my life, and some things are in the process, you know, I said again, because God is really at work. I can't testimony for the time I wait. And yes, God is going really to bless you, Jason. It is done yet for your house and your promised land and happy ville and fields and laborers. And this is also my prayer for life. To really do God's word and work. And he has prepared some works for us in advance to practice, to do. And I was very blessed with Laurence sharing and really focusing on the doing, to produce what God made available for us to produce, you know, speaking in tongues, praying. Whatever is required to do. And that's all I wanted to share. I love you all, and I pray for you all also, and love you. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you, Frank. Yeah, that's great. Great testimony. Great sharing. Next, Chrissy, anything in your heart to share, sister?
Mic.
If you're speaking, I can't hear you. Your mic must be muted.
Okay, there I am.
Hey.
Hi.
God bless you.
I am blessed, and I'm so blessed to be listening to all your sharings about how God's working and how God will work and how he wants to work. And I just have to testify that he is working in my life. I'm kind of in recovery mode today. I was really hit big time earlier this week. And, you know, it just was crying out to God for healing, and he answered, and I got up on my feet, and I'm working again today. So I'm really super blessed to be out of the condition that I was in 2 days ago, because it wasn't very happy, though. I was in misery, though, and God delivered me really fast. And I did what I knew to do in the natural, and just having been through that experience makes me want to trust in him more for things that I'm desiring. And it's just an almighty God, and I'm so thankful to be up and functioning today and to be with you all. So I'm really blessed.
Oh, bless your wonderful heart, Christine. Good to see you again and hear your voice. Always a blessing, and God is at work. Okay, so how about Mary Long? Would you like to share anything, Mary, are you able to share? Okay, maybe she's working. All right, Jane Casanova.
Hi, Lawrence.
God bless you, sweetheart.
God bless you. Thank you so much for boy. You know, God's been working overtime with me trying to get my mindset on what the word says. I know what the word says, but I don't understand it. I hate to say it. Hi, Jason. God bless you. Anyway, I'm glad that I still have a few years left just so I can understand before I get with y'all in heaven, because I sure don't want to be so far behind, because y'all are doing great. And I know what you mean about, Chrissy, just doing, what you know what to do. And then God picks up for that. And that's what he's been doing for me. And so I'm so happy that y'all let me get on this call, because, I love God and I want to do his will, but I just, you know, I didn't realize that there was something working at me. I thought it was all me. And now I just have to be patient. And just be peaceful. You know, that's what I'm learning, that I haven't been peaceful because I wanted to do more. You know, I always wanted to do better. And I grew up in a country place like Ireland. It was, you know, with the animals, and I love animals too, but there was no urgency to do anything, seems like, except go to school. and now I'm beginning to see that we're fellow laborers with God and we can help people. God will inspire us if we just get out there and we just keep loving people. And I just want you to lift, if you can, Dr. Denise Witherspoon. She's been living her whole life trying to help people. And now she's got a bad situation with her heart, which, I mean, she is just in such a good mood. It just amazes me. And she found a doctor that knows how to do acupuncture, and he gets her blood pressure down, but her heartbeat is real low, you know, and she thinks she needs a defibrillator, whatever that is, to keep your heart going. And I told her, no, she needs a miracle. That's what she needs. and I just found out that, you know, the best way to get a miracle is to want one, you know. And I'm glad I didn't understand about miracles, Lawrence, because if I hadn't asked God about miracles, I would have never called you to minister to me when I really needed a miracle, because, you know, I just didn't know what end was up. Fear just kind of grips you sometimes, you know, by the neck. And, anyway, she's not fearful at all, but that's one thing I don't want her to just, you know, go happily into the yonder, you know. I want her to stay here with us because she's such a wonderful person. Every time you talk to her, she just cheers you up. She told me this great joke about this guy that had a parrot, and he wanted to find a mate for it because he was leaving it by himself during the day, and he found another guy that had a parrot, but he wasn't sure, you know, if the
Oops, you're frozen up, Jane. Come on, connection. Ah. Ah, there you go. Unmute your mic, Jane. You froze for a bit. Unmute your mic. We can't hear you. Unmute your mic, darling. That's
okay,
it.
I got it. It went. This phone here has a mind of its own. But anyway, thank you, God, for protecting me for a few more minutes, because I just want to tell you, I've been talking to her about what God can do. And I don't know, if I hadn't been on these calls, I would never understand what God could do. Y'all are such good believers. I want to tell you, you're at the top of the list. and you sure are a great example to me. And that's what I need, because I try to be an example to people, but they never heard of this before. And I don't really, frankly, I don't think they believe me, but you giving me courage to go on and to keep speaking the word and showing people what I believe And it will inspire believing in people. And I never knew, I had never understood that before, how important we are to God. And that's one way we can be fellow laborers. And that's what you all do for me. You inspire me to believe bigger. And thank you very much. And I hope you have a great evening.
Bless your heart, Jane. Always such a great blessing to hear from you and to see your zeal and your love for God and people. Such beautiful heart you have. Always thankful for your life. And the great words that you speak from God is great. Great testimonies and inspiration. Bless your heart, sweetheart. We love you very much. And, okay, let's try Mary again. Mary, can you share or are you busy? Mary. Okay, maybe working then. Okay, Patri, did you want to share? Are you still on the streets or are you coming home? Are you home or are you just listening? All right. Okay, so no reply. Mind with that Beatles songs, no reply. So let's close out of a word of prayer, shall we? So who would like to pray? Barbara, would you like to pray?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
Father God, I thank you for this night tonight. How you bless everybody and protect everyone. Thank you for your love and goodness and grace in our lives that we can count on you being a faithful God and a loving Father to us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. God is so good. And so what I'll do, I'll open it up. If anyone wants to speak in tongues, interpret, or bring forth a word of prophecy, just unmute your mic and then fire away. Bless us all. Go for it, Jane.
Good. Kaliana Lamai, Kalalisa Kaso, Kianto Koloso Alaman, Alalina Lamoso Kasi, Shiana Lamas Akaso. My children, I am your father, and I do tenderly love you. I have my arms open continually, so come to me and know that my words are true. I am not a man that I should lie, and I do have your best interest at heart, so fear nothing, my children. Know that I can help you in every situation if you just look to me.
Okay, I think your mic's muted again, but thank you, Jane. And someone else bring forth a word of prophecy, please.
Yeah, know my children that I do love you and I do take care of you. So come to me with all your heart that's on your heart and know for a surety that I will take care of you every detail in your life.
Amen. And someone else who wrote a prophecy.
Great is my love for you, my children. Great is the power that I've placed within you as well. I have made you my very own, and I have given you all things, and you are mine. So therefore, walk forth in the greatness of all that you are. Walk forth with my heart in your heart. Look only to me, knowing that I lay your path ahead before you, and your path is smooth, it is abundant, it is prosperous, for I have guaranteed it for you. There is nothing that can harm you in this world, for I have set you on high. You are my beloved.
Beautiful words from God. And someone else who wrote a prophecy.
I know you before the foundation of the world. You are my heart and I want you the best. You are my children. I love you. I take care of you.
Amen. And I want to ask Peter Lloyd also to last word of prophecy and go for it, Peter. Unmute your mic.
Yep. Am I still muted? No, I'm not. Look unto me, my children. I do have your best interests at heart. I have known the path that I have made for you since before the foundations of this world. The path that I have laid out for you is sure, and you two are to walk it. You can be sure of it. So trust me and come to me.
Amen. Beautiful stuff. And Lynn, would you like to close out of a word of prayer?
Sure. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your tenderness towards us. Thank you, Father, for reminding us that we are yours and that you are faithful to care for our lives. And Father, that you endeavor to have a close relationship with us, to walk and talk with us. And thank you, Father, for how you constantly uplift us and encourage us and urge us to more worthy endeavors. And thank you, Father, for building those desires in our hearts that we don't even know we have. We thank you for your love and your continued care over our lives. In the name of Christ Jesus, amen.